So Heather, did you catch how to write that out there?
Will each personally hand it to them. I'm going to, when they are done, I'll somehow, I may even just have us go up in front with them and get a picture with the, there's going to be several kids making the presentation. I would just go up and each one hand our own check to them.
Is he ready for the? Are you ready? Are we okay?
What's that? Yes. So we're going to each hang on to your checks and each hand them.
Good evening, everyone. Now, you do know, if we don't start this meeting, you're stuck with me forever, because unless we swear in new people, this is it. And my wife would be very disappointed. Well, welcome. It's quite a crowd, and we are thankful for you all coming out to certainly thank the old and welcome our new council members. Let's go ahead and call our meeting to order, and we will begin with a Pledge of Allegiance, and I will go ahead and lead that this time. Please stand. Thank you. We'll go ahead with a roll call, please.
Councilmember Burbo?
Here.
Councilmember Moreno?
Here.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is approval of the agenda.
Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor-elect Moreno and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Brobo?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Now, I probably should have checked on this earlier. I am hoping that we have our lighthouse project. Chris is here, and you have your students with you. Then it is time to head to the lectern, and I will ask Mr. Greg Balo. Oh, Chris. Well, I can remember Abigail anyway. Good to see Abigail again. And this is the Atascadero Greyhound Foundation, and they're going to be making a presentation about the Lighthouse Project for Addiction Awareness, Prevention, and Intervention. Glad to have you back.
Thank you very much. My name is Chris Balo. I'm principal at Paloma Creek High School. I'm also representing the Lighthouse Atascadero Committee. As you said, we are about raising awareness, providing prevention, intervention, and education regarding youth and addiction in our community. I have three students here today that are here to talk about our current project and what we're doing. I have Abigail, Logan, and Victor, and I really appreciate the opportunity for us to practice our public speaking skills here with you today. And I'll let you know that Logan and Victor stepped up at the last moment and are pinch hitting, and they are here and ready to go. And so appreciate again your time and allowing us to be here. Here's Abigail.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Abigail Bloomer, like Chris Balow said. I'd like to start off by telling you a little bit about Lighthouse. So Lighthouse is a nonprofit organization that provides members of the community with awareness concerning substance abuse. We tackle substance abuse before it starts by providing people through the 18 years of age with programs and tools. These are the programs that are currently running now. Lighthouse Counseling Services at Paloma Creek High School, the Mentoring Program at Atascadero High School, as well as the Wellness Center, the Reality Tour, which is put on by the Lighthouse Committee, and after-school programs that give underclassmen the chance to also learn about awareness, as well as our program at Paloma Creek High School called Lighthouse Coffee. Here is Victor to talk a little bit more about Lighthouse.
My name is Victor Brito, and I'm gonna be talking about what we do in the Lighthouse Coffee class. We work on creating logos and create our business cards. We post every day on Facebook and Instagram. The software we use in our class is 3D SketchUp and the Adapter Illustrator. We plan events, and we also do like the one we did like in the downtown, and here's Logan.
Hello, my name is Logan Reyes, and I want to share with you our biggest project that we are currently working on. We are trying to raise a goal of $15,000 to get a trailer to sell coffee, baked goods, and actually have magazines that display information on how negative drugs can be towards your body and how you shouldn't use them and stuff. And if we own a trailer with our logo on it, it can help us branch out to other people and let people know that we're actually like serious. We're trying to do something to help people like our age and help them to quit stop. And we want to like represent ourselves in like more of like a professional look, you know. And also with a trailer, we can also get to events like faster, and it'll be way easier. It'll be better organized, and it'll overall just be better. That's all I have for you today. Thank you for your time.
At this time, we are also taking questions concerning Lighthouse and what we do for the community.
Any council questions? I think most of us are pretty familiar with the program and appreciate you coming out again. And I know the future council is going to stay active with you as well.
I was wondering if you were asking us for something.
Yeah.
No, we're sincerely trying to promote the word of Lighthouse around the community, but we are taking individual donors, which we have been in contact with.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we're not taking public comment right now, Jerry. That'll occur a little bit later. We want to finish with the presentation right now. Thank you. Well, we did appreciate what you've done in our community. And so our council, at least the last council of 2016, when we were all elected, you'll be able to hit up the next council next time, but we'd like to each contribute $100 each, which is that I know you're trying to get a multiple folks to contribute $500, which will help support the trailer. And so we, as the council, will be one more you can check off. So if you would join us up here, we'll hand you your checks. Thank you for that presentation. Next item is some community, our City Council Service Awards, and I believe our city manager is going to take care of that.
I am. Thank you, Mayor. As you know, we recognize all of our employees on their milestone anniversaries. So we try and talk about and bring your employees here to the City Council meeting on their 5th, 10th, 15th anniversary. We have not been consistent with some of the people that work hardest here for the city. And so tonight, I would like to recognize some City Council members and their milestone anniversary. So if I could ask Brian, Roberta, and Heather to come join me over here on this side. You guys are going to get a lot of exercise tonight, back and forth. So we're going to start with Heather.
The newbie
at 5 years. So Heather Moreno reached her five-year council anniversary in 2017 and has just been elected as the city's mayor. Heather first served on the Planning Commission and was appointed to a vacant council seat in 2012. She has served as chairperson of the city's Finance Committee and liaison for the Economic Vitality Corporation. Her focus on financial stewardship and economic development. She promotes a positive business climate, protection of homeowners' rights and local control, and strongly believes in the city's fiscal responsibility. Heather has become a community leader on behalf of Atascadero homeowners and businesses, and she and her husband, Mike, moved to Atascadero in 2004. So we'd all like to thank Heather for your years of service and look forward to more here with the city of Atascadero. Brian. So Brian has been with the city council for 8 years, and his five-year anniversary was in 2015. We're just getting to it, so I apologize, Brian. As I said, we often neglect our poor city council members. They get abused by everybody else, but apparently we're joining in, so I apologize. Brian joined the council in 2010 after first serving on the Planning Commission from 2008 to 2010. He has also served as our representative on the League of California Cities Policy Committee and Housing, Community, and Economic Development Committee. Being a business-friendly city has been very important to him for both new as well as existing businesses. Throughout his tenure as a planning commissioner and a council member, Brian has been completely committed to listening, respecting different opinions, and increasing public engagement. So thank you, Brian. Yeah, I appreciate your years of service.
Thank you.
Roberta, we are recognizing for 10 years. Roberta was first elected to the City Council in 2008 after having served as a planning commissioner nearly 10 years. So she's given 20 years of service to the city of Atascadero. Roberta has been an Atascadero resident since 1956. She graduated from Atascadero High School and graduated with honors from both Cuesta College and Cal Poly. Roberta has the distinction of being the principal author of the Atascadero Incorporation Study. She has been a strong promoter of creating a business-friendly climate with improved job opportunities for local residents and has a keen interest in promoting local businesses. Roberta is also a strong proponent of government accountability, and she is passionate about involving the public in the governmental process. Roberta and her husband, Al, have been married for 44 years. They have four grown children and are very active participants in the community. So thank you, Roberta, for both your 10 years on the council and the 10 years with the City Council. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And thank you all for your years of service. Next item on the agenda is the consent calendar, items considered to be routine that can be voted on collectively unless a member of the council or a member of the public wants to pull a particular item for further discussion. Any member of the council wishing to pull a consent calendar item? Any member of the public wishing to pull a consent calendar item? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
Certainly, can I pull an item?
Well, you did
Please.
Want to add. Well, We have a debate up here, because if we don't make a correction, then it doesn't include the treasurer, Jerry Seebach. So, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so if we can pull A3, and then I think if Luke can cue it up for me, we just need to make an amendment to the resolution to include the treasurer, since he was voted on as well.
So, Brian, would you like to entertain your last motion for the remaining consent calendar items?
Just really quick, let me show you the red line so that everyone can see what we changed.
Okay. You want to consider that on item A3 then?
Yes,
okay,
for item
A3.
Okay,
go ahead.
Can you just click it for me, Luke?
I think she wants to just go ahead and tell us what needs to be changed on
sure.
item A3.
Sure. For section 2, we just need to add that it was the contest there. You see that for Jerry Seebach that he was elected city treasurer, and then in section 4, the same thing, just to add his name to it.
Very good. So now we can vote on all together.
All together. So I make a motion that we approve the consent calendar with the changes here that we before us on, that have been updated.
Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Sturdivant, seconded by Mayor-elect Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And because of technical reasons, we'll be having a committee report section twice on the agenda tonight. We all participate in many meetings outside of this particular meeting, and that helps us in a lot of different categories that are regional, and we will be giving a report of this council, some of the items they're going to be doing, or we have done, and then it'll be on the agenda for council appointments later on. So now we'll just go through. I'll just start with my right and go to my left. Of any council announcements or reports?
No, no announcements or report.
No announcements.
Councilmember Barbeau?
No, I did attend some meetings, but nothing really reportable to pass back.
I would just say I attended EVC, and we started the strategic planning process. It's going very well. They hired Coraggio Group. Actually, that has been sponsored by Noreen Martin, so that was very generous of her, and we're on that path to putting a plan together. So I think that's going to go well.
Very good. And all of the meetings that I have attended this time, I had Mayor-elect Moreno join me, so she'll be well prepared to give an update at a later time. So with that, I think that concludes our committee reports and announcements. And that takes us to the oaths of office. And I believe our city clerk will be handling that.
If we can have those taking an oath of office. So Mayor Moreno, Councilmember Funk, Councilmember Heather Newsom, Jerry Seebach, our treasurer, up front. And if I can ask my council members, my existing council members, to come take these four reserve seats right here in the front row so that you can are able to watch.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, please state your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely,
without any mental reservation, or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office for which I am about to enter. Perfect. So I'm going to give you... Oh, yes, please. And then we have some city pins, and so I think everyone has someone here tonight. So, Heather, do you have someone that you'd like to come up and pin you? Oh, Mayor Moreno. Sorry. Mayor Moreno, would you have someone?
And now, Councilmember Newsom, who would you like to come and pin you? Wonderful. Come on up. And Councilmember Funk. And Susan, you can stay up here.
I didn't know where to go with that.
And Treasurer Seebach.
My wife Diane is here.
Wonderful, Diane.
And also my good friend, Mayor Steve Martin, and his wife Jennifer.
Yes, very glad to see them. Now, as you probably know, if you've been to a city council meeting before, we discourage clapping and cheering during public comment because it gets in the way of conducting city business. And so we want to do a little celebrating right now. And so I'm going to ask each of my colleagues to take a moment and say a few words and then give all of you the opportunity to cheer for the success of your candidates, because this is a night of celebration. Let's start with Councilmember Newsom.
So today I actually wrote some notes. This is a very emotional day for me. I'm very excited to be on this side, and we have come through a lot, so I'm very honored to be standing before you. To have been elected to serve my community, I want to thank my family, friends, and the citizens of Atascadero for all the support that my family received and I received. I look forward to serving Atascadero, which is a great city, and I'm very honored. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather, and Heather. And thank you, all of you. I too am deeply honored to have this opportunity to serve the city that we all love so dearly. And I am able to have this moment by the gift of the work and sacrifice of a great many people. And I particularly want to thank my husband, Gordon. And I want to thank Linda, Ellen, Eileen, Christina, Vicki, and Mary, and Michael and Christina, and so many others in this room and others who couldn't be here tonight who helped make this moment possible. This is an opportunity for all of us to move our community forward, and I thank you for letting me be your voice in this process.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno, and congratulations to the new council for persons. It's an honor for me to be able to serve my city, and I generally try to stay in the background. Once in a while, I'll pipe up and annoy a lot of people, but I try to keep that to a minimum. But again, thank you, and I thank my wife for allowing me to do this.
To run for public office requires a lot of moral support, financial support, wise counsel, and boots on the ground. And I am grateful to those near and far who were all of that to me. Most importantly, my husband Mike, and to my family in Southern California, Colorado, and Hawaii, all the support that they gave to me. To friends and colleagues, many of whom are here today, to Nabo Sisters, and just even to those who saw me in the grocery store and offered words of encouragement, it's because of you that I'm here. And I recognize that as we look at our accomplishments of the past and we look forward to what we're going to do in the future, we do that, it's possible, because we are a team. So at the council level, with city staff, and with you in the community, it's all of us working together that make Atascadero the best place to be in the county. So let's get to it. Thank you.
Mayor and council members, can we do some photo opportunities with all of our newly elected officials, along with our current, or I guess just past elected officials, our just past council? Yes, if we can have everybody up here for some photo opportunities, I would appreciate it. And anybody that would like pictures, please feel free to come on up. Fantastic. Thank you. And we will have some other photo opportunities in a moment. If I can ask my new council members and new elected officials to go ahead and take a seat on the dais, and Mayor O'Malley and Councilmember Sturdivant, if we could have you stick around for a little bit longer, we would appreciate it.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Burbo.
Here.
Councilmember Funk. Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
And Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Excellent. We are now going to do presentations to our outgoing city council members. First, I would like to make a presentation to Councilmember Brian Sturdivant. Brian and I started serving together. I think that's really how we met. We vaguely knew of each other and then met really when we were back on the Planning Commission, 2009, 2010, and then these past 6 years on council. It's really been an honor to serve with you. So Brian joined City Council in 2010 after also serving on the Planning Commission beginning in 2008. During his time as a council member, Brian has served on the City Schools Committee, the Finance Committee, and has represented the City of Atascadero at the League of California Cities, attending numerous meetings while participating on the League's Policy Committee and the Housing Community and Economic Development Committee. As an elected official, Brian has always taken the confidence that has been placed in him by his constituents very seriously, and has been a strong proponent of transparency and strengthening public trust to help ensure that our local governing process functions at its best. Brian's goal has been to promote an attitude of open and honest communication in all aspects of city government, and has been completely committed to listening, respecting different opinions, and increasing public engagement. Brian was once asked, "What does Atascadero mean to you?" He stated that we are a diverse community working together to make Atascadero a great place to live. He believes that the wide variety of our backgrounds, personal experience, and talents are just a few of the things that add strength and depth to our community, and that we are all driven by a common purpose and vision to make Atascadero a great place to live and the best that it can be for all of its citizens. Being a business-friendly city has been a top priority for Brian, and he has strived to ensure that the council, community, and city staff works cohesively together as a team. He has continually demonstrated his deep care for the community and its future, and has promoted Atascadero's economic health and stability. Throughout his years of public service for the city, Brian has proven himself to be a true servant of all Atascadero's citizens by constantly being open-minded, consistent, collaborative, and thorough. He always does his homework about the issues coming before the council, puts forth thoughtful and insightful questions to staff, and then methodically considers his position. Brian has been a dedicated, hardworking community volunteer, including serving as a treasurer and board member for the Atascadero Veterans Memorial Foundation. In addition to his duties on the city council, he's worked for PG&E at Diablo Canyon Power Plant for over 35 years, where he oversaw the tool management group at the Diablo Canyon Power Plant. He and his wife, Karen, raised their family of four, now full-grown daughters, Courtney, Rebecca, Taylor, and Jillian, right here in Atascadero. They're no longer here, though. They're spread far and wide. They are also the very proud grandparents of two-year-old Jordan. Brian, we thank you sincerely for your outstanding service to the city and to this community. You will be missed.
And we have this super heavy thing for you. And Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie will do the honors for Mayor O'Malley. Oh, yeah, that would be nice. Brian, okay. You want to say a few words?
Actually, I would like to say a few words. I was just thinking tonight that this all started, my city council career started as a date night for my wife and I, believe it or not. We actually used to come here on Tuesday nights just as a date to be able to see what's going on and kind of get involved and start learning a little bit more about our community. And then from there, it just blossomed into more care and opportunities to serve. And I really would like to say I really appreciate the opportunity from all of you to allow me to serve you in this capacity. I know we don't always agree on everything, but it's always been important to me that it's always all of us involved in the decision. And all of us being the public, the staff, the council. And when we have started the last 4 to 5 years has really been in a concerted effort for us to all row in the same, we're going in the same direction. It feels like there's a lot of momentum and we're making a lot of headway. And we can see it in what's going on around our town. And we can see it in the attitude, and there's far less division and issues and problems because we're all working towards the same goal. We're working to make our community a better place for economic development, for our families, for all of us to be able to live a better life. So it's all been about we. We have actually worked well together. And I know that with this new council, public, staff, I know that that will continue, the momentum will continue. And I want to thank you very much to everyone who has, staff has been outstanding. You guys are the most creative, intelligent, caring people that I have worked with in my career, in anything I've done. So thank you, staff, council, thank you. Keep up the good work. And public, thank you so much for the opportunity. And just let's keep moving forward. And just I'm excited to see what's going to happen in our town. Thank you.
Well, I guess I get to do Tom, though. Our past mayor, which seems so odd. He's been mayor ever since I've known him, it seems like. Excuse me?
I think they'd like to do Brian, and then maybe the
okay, let's wait.
We'll
focus
is
on
that
Tom.
Okay?
Sure.
All right. So we have, okay. That makes sense. Do it all together. So we have from Assemblyman Cunningham's office, Kristen Hanley, here to offer congrats.
So this is on behalf of the California Legislature and the State Assembly, a resolution by the Honorable Jordan Cunningham honoring Brian Strudevant to be commended for his long and distinguished record of leadership as a member of the Atascadero City Council, applauded for his exemplary public achievements, and extended sincere best wishes for the continued success in his future, signed the Honorable Jordan Cunningham, 35th Assembly District.
And now our 5th District Supervisor, Debbie Arnold.
So it's really an honor to be here, and I want to start by congratulating our new council members. And Brian, this on behalf of the entire County Board of Supervisors is just recognition of your 8 years of just impeccable service to your city. And it's been a pleasure working with you for 8 years as well, and getting to spend time with your family. So anyway. This is.
Thank you so much.
I know you have a little more time to spend with family, and I'm happy about that. We're going to miss you here on the
City
Council.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you.
And now, Brian, if you could bring all of your paraphernalia, and Debbie and Kristen, and if the five of us go up, and we'll do a photo with you.
Okay, let's try again here. Past Mayor Tom O'Malley first served the City of Atascadero as a planning commissioner prior to being elected for the Atascadero City Council back in 2002, long time ago. For the past 16 years, Tom has continuously served on the Atascadero City Council, twice served the council as appointed mayor. He then ran unopposed in 2012 for the first ever elected mayor position in Atascadero. He was re-elected as mayor in 2014 and in 2016. Tom was elected to the City Council with a goal of building consensus in a strongly divided council and community. He also worked to develop a successful public trust program. Tom believes autonomy and self-reliance best serves the citizens of Atascadero. He strived to make Atascadero self-sufficient and self-sustaining both economically and jurisdictionally. Tom has served the community as the president of the San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, president of the Regional Transportation Authority, chairperson of the Regional Air Pollution Control District, president of the Integrated Waste Management Authority, was a member of a Regional Water Quality Control Board appointed by the governor, and chairperson of the San Luis Obispo County Economic Vitality Corporation. A partial listing, but not all, of all that Tom has worked hard to achieve for the residents of Atascadero includes economic development and downtown revitalization, the rehabilitation of historic City Hall where we sit, an untold number of capital improvements throughout the city, including those that have been undertaken in recent years at Atascadero Lake Park, Pavilion on the Lake, and the Charles Paddock Zoo, an increase in tourism and new business development, with the correlating increases in tax flow coming to the city, the streamlining of the city's permit process, and ongoing commitment to and improvements in public safety. Tom was born and raised in Atascadero, and he and his wife Peggy are both third-generation residents. They both attended kindergarten through high school in Atascadero, as did their three children, Maggie, Mary, and Trevor. They now have a total of 7 grandchildren. Tom's grandmother was an early school teacher in the area, and his mom owned a small beauty parlor downtown, which was located not far from his uncle Jim Stolte's malt shop. Tom's dad was one of the first full-time firefighters at the Atascadero Fire Department. Tom and Peggy are now own and operate the Portola Inn and Portola Event Planning. Tom often says, "The only things that you get to take from life are the relationships you've made." We sincerely thank you, Tom, for all that you have done for and given to the community. Well done, Tom. You have been a good and faithful public servant. You have left behind big shoes for those following after you to fill. Thank you.
Kristen Handley from Jordan Cunningham's office, followed by Debbie Arnold.
So again, this is on behalf of the California Legislature, a resolution says to the Honorable Tom O'Malley, whereas the Honorable Tom O'Malley is stepping down as mayor of the city of Atascadero, and it is appropriate at this time to highlight the many achievements during his 16 years on the city council and extend to him a heartfelt thank you for a job well done. And be it resolved by Assemblymember Jordan Cunningham that the Honorable Tom O'Malley be commended for his long and distinguished record of leadership as a member of the Atascadero City Council, applauded for his exemplary public achievements, and extend sincere best wishes for continued success in the future. Signed, the Honorable Jordan Cunningham, 35th Assembly District.
Wow, I don't even know what to say about this, Tom. After all these many years and watching all those pictures and realizing how much you've done for this community and the city of Atascadero, and I have to tell you all, since I've been working for you down at the Board of Supervisors, having Tom, working with Tom on so many of the other boards that were just mentioned, he has really done a great job representing this community. So on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, I, too, want to present you with a resolution, a lot of whereases, talking about all your accomplishments, but mostly I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you've done, and he promised that he's staying involved. Oh, yeah. So we're not going to let him get too far away. Yeah.
And we also have a Tom's childhood friend, Mayor Steve Martin, in the audience. And I think if we all get up and take a picture, and Mayor Martin, if you would like to join us.
Well, I'm not going to say a whole heck of a lot, but I do want to emphasize, I think relationships really is the most important thing for families and for community. And it's that working together, certainly with our staff who work a lot more than people see, and all of the council members. Heather, Susan, there's a lot more work besides just showing up here, and I think you know that. You know what you're getting into. And I would really just thank my family, and it's a true blessing to have gotten the opportunity to serve, and I want to give a special thank you for all of the free therapy from my good friend Mayor Martin over the years. And Steve, I'll let you close. If you want to say a word or two, that's it.
Thank you, Tom, for giving me so much time to prepare for this. Tom and I and Jerry kind of grew up here in Atascadero. We went to school together, and after high school, although I didn't wander far, just a few more miles down the road to Paso Robles, I kind of lost contact with Tom for a long time. And then in 2002, I wound up here working for the Main Street Organization in Atascadero, and we reconnected. And it was a great experience, and as Tom says, we've offered a lot of free therapy to each other over the years. But I have to say, even though I thought that I was involved and busy in my community all those years, I didn't realize what it was like to be a busy public servant until I was reintroduced to Tom O'Malley. Because Tom O'Malley doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. He does the difficult work. He doesn't show up for a photo and then run away. He helps put the tables away and throw away the trash. If that's necessary, he does the real work. And he taught me a real lesson about being a true hands-on public servant. And over the years, whenever I got into situations where I didn't know what to do as a mayor, I could always call Tom and say, Tom, it's time for lunch. And likewise, every now and then I'd get a phone call saying, Steve, it's time for a little therapy. And so I'm very happy that Tom and I have had the opportunity to serve as what we call dos alcaldes, two mayors. And we've been supportive of each other, and I truly believe, from the perspective of Paso Robles, my constituents have benefited from my relationship with you. And I certainly hope that's been reciprocated in your direction. And with that, I recognize you and all your service to this community, our hometown, and wish you the very best in the future.
And with that, we will recess for a little celebration. We have some cake over here before we get down to business. So enjoy. We'll be back in maybe 15, 20 minutes, but you're all welcome to partake and talk with everybody and do some celebrating.
Okay, good.
All right, we are reconvening our city council meeting. And this is the time when the council will appoint a mayor pro tem. We appoint a mayor pro tem for the term of 2 years. It's not solidified, but that's the way we've been doing it the last several terms. We've done it over a 2-year term. And so now we will accept nominations from council members to appoint a pro tem.
I think my mic's on. I'd like to make a motion that we elect Charles Burbeau for mayor pro tem.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
We have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie and a second by Councilmember Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Burbeau?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
And Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
5-0, motion passes. I guess we should have asked you first if you wanted it.
Well, since I'm confident you're not going to be absent that much, I'm fine with that. Thank you. Thank you for the honor. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And now we're ready for our updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. If I could get the clicker, Gerald. The first item I want to talk about tonight is the results of some of our holiday lighting events that we've had. So we had, at the holiday lighting ceremony, we had a record attendance this year. Ticket sales were up nearly 30% over last year for the Chamber's Art and Wine Tour. And preliminary counts show the number of candy canes handed out by Mrs. Santa, Mrs. Claus, went up significantly. You can see from this short video clip just how terrific this event was this year. So if I could ask Luke to just show this very brief video clip. It's a fun event. As all of you know, because you did attend the event, this is a holiday favorite. For those of you who haven't had a chance to attend our holiday lighting ceremony, it's a lot of fun. It's a little bit, a lot more low-key than Winter Wonderland. It's a great Atascadero event. We also had another great Atascadero event, which is our musical walk around the lake. This was a fun night with a great turnout in spite of the rain just hours before and the threat of rain during it. There was a lot to do and enjoy, including lots of festive carolers, holiday music, entertainment, delicious treats, hot chocolate and cider, and Santa and Mrs. Claus were at the zoo. I heard that a lot of our animals at the zoo, our zoo friends, tended to stay in their holdings, in their homes, and weren't quite as visible, but other than that, it was a fantastic event. And we had Winter Wonderland, and that was had a lot of people involved with making the event happen. I want to thank everybody from staff to a multitude of volunteers who put on a really terrific event with its best attendance ever. I don't know if you know that, but Atascadero Kiwanis show up at 7 a.m. on the day of Winter Wonderland and stay well past midnight trying to clean up. So while the public only sees them from the hours of Winter Wonderland, there's a lot of hardworking people that really make the event happen, particularly the snow slide and the snow piles. It takes a lot to do that. So we want to thank the Atascadero Kiwanis, the Elks Club, who does the train, Explorers, who do a lot of the cleanup and patrolling that night, Atascadero High School and Elementary Schools, the Fine Arts Academy, Motions Academy of Dance, and A-Town Skate Park, who do a lot of the performances and entertainment that night. And they all are a critical part of making that such a success. So again, a wonderful event that continues to grow. We have one more holiday event coming up, and that's Holiday Magic at the Charles Paddock Zoo. Santa and Mrs. Claus will be at the zoo on Saturday, December 15th, to help welcome visitors and deliver gifts to the animal. Animal gift delivery begins at 10:15 a.m. and goes through 2 p.m., so there will be certain times that each animal will receive its gifts, so you can go from animal to animal and watch them open some unique treats and have a lot of fun. There'll also be a zookeeper there telling you a little bit about the animal and what kind of treats that they're getting. There'll also be lots of other activities for the entire family to enjoy throughout the day. There will be a strolling magician at the zoo on Saturday, and the zoo is all dressed up for the holidays, so come celebrate the season with the animals. If you're interested in helping to support this event to ensure Santa can fulfill all of the animals' Christmas wishes, please visit the Charles Paddock Zoo Facebook page and click on the wish list link. Just like a lot of us, the animals have a Christmas list too, and they would love some special toys and lots of fun. So if you want to help out with that, that'd be great. And we want to thank our sponsors, State Farm Insurance, John Donovan, Pacific Premier Bank, New Times, and the Tribune. And we have one last event. It's the New Year's Eve Bash. So the Atascadero Firefighters Association and the City of Atascadero are partnering this year to present a New Year's Eve Bash that you won't want to miss. This is formerly the Fireman's Ball, but certainly it's never just for firemen. We want the whole city and the community to attend and enjoy. The event will be held at the Pavilion on the Lake on December 31st. The doors will be open at 7 p.m. and the party will continue until 12:30 a.m. It is a semi-formal event and there will be live music, a full taco bar, along with plenty of adult beverage options for purchase, and there will be a champagne toast and balloon drop at midnight to ring in the new year. So please buy your tickets early. They're on sale now at my805tix.com/events, or you can go to visit Atascadero and you can find it through there. Each ticket costs $50 now through December 30th, and if purchased at the door, tickets will be $65 each. Every ticket includes entry to the event, access to the taco bar, and two drink tickets, and the event benefits youth sports scholarships, the Alyssa Ann Bruce Byrne Foundation, and other local charities. We have new ramps and improvements at the A-Town Skate Park, so volunteers from the staff of our local Home Depot assisted with installing and applying materials that were recently donated by Home Depot, along with a new ramp that was purchased with a cash donation provided by the Rotary Club of Atascadero. They also painted, repaired concrete caps, cracks, and even scrubbed and mucked out the corners everywhere. The strong support and donations from Rotary and Home Depot, combined with the energetic staff time and elbow grease, helped to provide a beautiful new ramp and improvements to the skate park. The staff of the skate park is extremely grateful for the support from Home Depot and the Rotary Club. And again, if you have not been to the skate park, even if you're not a skater or a scooters, they have a lot of scooters and bikes. It's still fun to go out and just take a look and see what's happening there at the skate park. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rickard. Any questions from council? Thank you. All right, now is our time for a community forum. This is the time in our reserve for persons who are wanting to address the city council on any item that is not on the agenda, but over which we have jurisdiction. Each person has 3 minutes, and we do have the sound turned on the timer to assist speakers in knowing when their time is up. And we ask you to please state your name for the record before making comments. And I will ask, if you wouldn't mind if I had someone go right before you. Reverend Heather Branton from Community Church has done a special prayer for this evening that she would like to share with us.
As Mayor Moreno said, I am Heather Branton, pastor of Community Church of Atascadero. And I have a real honor of being able to say I am a friend of each of the new council members and our new mayor. And so it's a real honor to be able to be here today and to celebrate with you. I would like to offer a meditation or prayer. Spirit present in all life, on this important evening, we are reminded how fortunate we are. We are grateful for the wisdom of our ancestors that they established a system of representative democracy. We are grateful for the freedoms established and that no freedom comes without responsibilities that we engage in our democratic system, responsibilities that we be informed, responsibilities that we vote, responsibilities that we work for the common good. Thank you for the tremendous generosity and engagement of the people of Atascadero, a community that lives together, works together, and plays together, a community that seeks to be in an even better place to live, both for individuals and for families. As our population continues to grow, may we embrace the creativity that comes from varied ideas and viewpoints needed for a vibrant community. On this particular evening, we are grateful for those willing to work on behalf of the residents of Atascadero, especially those elected to City Council. Many of us gather here to celebrate their commitment to our community at the beginning of this new term of office. May we do our best to support each one of these, our elected representatives. May we engage with them, challenge them, and appreciate them. As they begin this new term, especially those who have been newly elected, may they each experience your presence, giving them wisdom. Help them listen more than they talk. May they seek out differing perspectives, particularly on contentious issues. May their interactions, both within and outside of these chambers, be filled with kindness and respect. May they always carry the burden of realizing that they work on behalf of and for the whole community of Atascadero, both for the present as well as the implications for the future. And may Mayor Moreno be filled with patience in proportion to the temperature in the room, confidence fueled by humility, wisdom tempered with understanding, courage allowing for mistakes, and humor that lifts spirits as well as discourse. For these things and more, Spirit who keeps inviting us to be our best, thank you for this City Council. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Heather. All right, Jerry.
Jerry Clay, 7285 Sycamore Road. First of all, I'd like to thank the council for recognizing the Lighthouse program. It's a wonderful program, and I like to say it's saving lives in Atascadero. Prior to Lighthouse, we had 12 OD deaths in about a year. That was 6 years ago. And in 2016, I talked to a lieutenant at the police department, and he told me that he could only account for two deaths. So Lighthouse is making a difference. It's saving lives. The other thing I'd like to point out is the beauty of our community. I would challenge anybody to go up to where Bank America is and just take a 360. This is a beautiful community, folks. And the Sunken Gardens is beautiful. Our lake park is beautiful. And please represent that and relish it, because it's a beautiful community. And I'd like to tell the new council, and it's not a job, it's a privilege to be on the council. And I know you all do a good job, and so I just wish you the best. And in regards to the homeless, you know, I always said that Atascadero takes care of its people. And unfortunately, the homeless situation has kind of got out of hand. And I hope that you'll support the ECHO as they are moving towards building a daycare center out in the front of the place there. So anyway, good luck to you all, and congratulations. And I know you'll all do a great job. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good evening, Lee Perkins. Happy holidays to the City Council and the staff. 2 weeks ago, the City Council unanimously turned down the proposal for the Armory as a warming center. To clarify, the staff report says the transients would not gather at the Armory, but be bused in. Two buses would be brought to the Armory at 7 p.m., and they would be required to leave by 7 a.m., well before the school starts. ECHO Shelter is across the street from the high school, the Christian school, and backs a residential area. Rules are strictly enforced while offering the homeless food and community services, allowing for an opportunity to get housing and work without disturbing students or the neighborhood. In Councilperson Fonzie's editorial in the Tribune past Sunday, she said the City Council had declared Atascadero in a homeless shelter emergency, allowing ECHO and others to apply for state grant money. But under the California law, municipalities, including Atascadero and LA, which is already doing things, They would be enabled to house homeless people in designated public facilities and to suspend housing health and safety standards that might ordinarily get in the way of using those facilities for shelter. The state shelter declaration also gives local governments flexibility in how they spend funds from the state homeless emergency aid program. The program approved by the legislature this year set aside $500 million to combat homelessness. The money must be spent by June 2021. We have an incredible social and humanitarian crisis. We definitely need all levels of government to be on this issue. The Paso Robles News did a story on North County homeless reporting on a homeless point in time census done in 2013 and 2015. Homelessness, as far as they could tell, increased from 466 in 2013 to 629 in 2015. They're working on the 2017 report, but it's expected that the homelessness will have increased. I would like to see the city set up a task force of city and community agencies and the public to come up with a plan for temporary shelter or warming shelter in winter months on an ongoing basis year after year, so we didn't have to face this every year as a new issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Lisa Kanye. I have more questions than...
Go ahead and state your name again.
My name is Lisa Kanye, K-A-N-I-A. I have more questions and statements.
You can go ahead and let us know what your questions are, and we answer them at the end.
I'll get them. Okay. I'm speaking on behalf of our homeless community. I would like to specifically reference the letter to the editor written by Roberta Fonzi. You mentioned the armory is located dead center in the middle of an area heavily used by children and designated for family-oriented community activities, and you mentioned the schools as well. Our homeless aren't dangerous to people, and to put that stigma on them is a dangerous statement. You mentioned a drug-free zone. Again, you're implicating that homeless are drug users. Very dangerous statement. You also mentioned what does allowing anyone entrance, whether sober on drugs or with other issues. I would ask that you please elaborate what the other issues mean. Are you referring to our community that suffer from mental illness? I just want to know. Or anxiety issues. You implicated with the school board when you mentioned they spoke out against it. They never asked my opinion, and I have two children that go to the schools here, so they didn't voice my opinion. You said that our community waited until December. Okay, no, because you see the homeless community walk around every day. I see it. I've lived here for 4.5 years. Can't miss them. You mentioned the financial cost of the city would be substantial. You mentioned that the city would be required to pay $441 per day for use of the armory. You, as previously mentioned, you declared a homeless shelter emergency, and I don't have all the facts that the awesome lady previously said to me, but I believe you're entitled to some of those. You mentioned that our churches are providing warming shelters. This is just not a faith-based problem. This is a community problem. Your letter, in my opinion, contradicts itself, makes inaccurate statements and prejudiced statements concerning certain members of our community. You also appear to help create negative stigma. You are supposed to be an example of a great citizen, yet, in my opinion, as a military brat, wife, cousin, daughter, you have shamed us. Discrimination is defined as treating a person or a particular group of people differently, especially in a worse way. I have 28 seconds, okay. Also, in the Disabilities Act, it says Americans with Disabilities prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities in several areas, including employment, transportation, public accommodations, which means housing, communications, and access to state and local government programs and services. I really hope you would change your tune with how you addressed our homeless community publicly in our Slow Tribune. It embarrasses me as a community.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, I'm Isaac Kanya, and I'm here for the homeless for the armory. You guys said that put down the homeless warming shelter because of all the two schools, but you let just yesterday you let homeless people go inside the same building. Loud people were doing a field trip. Homeless were going inside the same building as children were doing a field trip to help.
Isaac brought this to my attention when I picked him up from school. Apparently it was a topic of conversation at school today. Your letter was really a big topic of conversation at school. And what his point is trying to make it is the fact that you mentioned it was near schools, but yet they did a community service project as a field trip to help the homeless yesterday at that same place.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
My name is Jim Carlisle. And you haven't seen me here before, even though I've lived here for 20 years. I've kind of avoided this place. I don't know why. I worked for this and retired from the state, so I. But maybe it's because the letter that you, Ms. Fonzie, wrote has the distinction of rousing me from my slumber and coming here to speak tonight. Summarizing the reasons that the city council would not use the armory for warming the homeless by citing the safety of children who would be in the area during the daytime. But we are talking about the evening hours, long after the children have gone home. It should also be noted that ECHO serves the homeless day in and day out across the street from two schools. Furthermore, if safety of the community is your concern, which I hope it is, then consider what happens to the homeless that are left without a warming place. I have seen them wandering neighborhoods in the evenings, especially near wooded areas and creek beds, where they can find cover. What will they do to stay warm? The temptation to light a fire is irresistible, and that is very dangerous. I must emphasize, very dangerous. Preventing another campfire tragedy is our top priority. It is safer for all of us to designate a warming shelter, and I hope you will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Is it on? Yeah. Hi. Good evening, Council. Congratulations to all the new members tonight. My name is Tom Komar. I live in Atascadero. And I want to speak also on the issue of the warming center. All my points have already been made, so I agree with the previous speakers. And I think that the while there were some legitimate logistical issues, none that I believe can't be worked out if there is the will to do it. And it appears that much of the opposition to the armory being used was based on fear-mongering and outright unfounded attitude towards those in our community or those who are passing through that are homeless. So the very idea that all those in need of this service are a threat to the safety of our children, students, raising the specter of swarms of pedophiles, drug addicts poised to swoop down and snatch the innocent is a ridiculous picture. And besides, the plan is to bus, as they said, to bus the people there at 7 at night. They leave at 7 in the morning. We have the 30-year experience of ECHO right by the schools, and as far as I know, there's never been an incident or a problem. So I would like to ask the council to re-agendize the issue. And as a previous speaker said, maybe set up a task force to look at the solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello. My name is Al Vossler. I would like to congratulate the new council members and wish you all success. I've lived in Atascadero for 38 years. I've been a volunteer with Homeless for Humanity, help, what is it? Habitat for Humanity, Mendelbach. I've also worked a little bit at ECHO, but my primary volunteer is with Loaves and Fishes of Atascadero. I have interfaced many times with homeless in our community. I find them to be very warm and grateful for what we can do for them. I find that other than some unfortunate circumstances, they could trade places with me. I find that we need to reach out to them with open arms and a warm heart. I feel the Armory would be a very good place, and I hope you will revisit that decision. If that does not work out, we need to find another place. We could be losing children and adults to hypothermia, colds and flu from just the circumstances they're in. We're not asking for a year-round thing. We're just asking for a warming shelter. They have a program similar to this in Paso Robles, and I just ask that we do something. We should be able to get some money from this program. It will not should not be a big burden on the city of Atascadero. It's what we need to do as human beings. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Fred Frank, lived in Atascadero most of my life. I would hope the new council would revisit the issue of the warming center. The North County has been relying on Atascadero for assistance for a long time. ECHO, churches, and volunteers have supported the homeless. And I think the city ought to kick in a little bit now, because ultimately it's not a matter of only compassion, but it is also a matter of the economy. This could, a few dollars spent keeping people warm might save a lot of money for the taxpayers in the long run, because it only takes one case of pneumonia to eat up all the costs that might be incurred with the rental of the armory. So I submitted a short letter there on the various points. But I think it's incumbent upon the city to take some responsibility for the homeless and do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Kate Montgomery, and I have a letter on the same subject of the warming center to the Atascadero City Council. When I read in the New Times that Cacho Acajan had the foresight to list our armory as a potential winter warming center for homeless people, thus avoiding red tape requirements, I began to hope that we could better shelter people here in the winter. I've heard that the National Guard may give up the armory soon, allowing for other uses of the space, but while it's currently sitting here empty, let's put it to good use during cold winter nights. I hope the city of Atascadero will communicate and cooperate with as many North County entities as possible to plan sharing costs and responsibilities. It sounds as if the nonprofit Transitional Food and Shelter Group already has the knowledge and skill we need to shelter more people here. They're already planning the early morning and late afternoon busing, bringing people, making sure it's well outside of school hours, and they assure that any potential conflicts in the neighborhood would be prevented by locking the building while it's in use. We should be preparing to provide generous, well-organized services next year. Meanwhile, there's time in the coming weeks to get ready to shelter people in the armory this winter till spring brings our famous Atascadero warm summer evenings. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, I'm Jeff Oslin, resident business owner of Atascadero. Congratulations to the new council. Very proud to have you guys on board. I'm going to do this on a lighter note. I want to speak about Terry Banish for a moment. I think she's one of the hardest working people in the city. Every time I turn around, she is always doing a lot for our city. And I think I wanted to recognize her. I was not at Winter Wonderland this Friday night, but I had a lot of people telling me how hard she worked and how she helped Kiwanis out this year and coordinated a squeeze bill to get the hay off the street, and she should be commended. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, congratulations to the new city council. My name is Deborah Skinner, and I have one light thing to bring up, and then I wanted to comment on something more serious. I have been able to travel at Halloween time to various cities in our country, and they have a tradition in some other cities that would be really fun here if we could do it at Halloween time. They host a thriller parade in the middle of the city where all of the citizens dress up as ghouls and do the dance together. So you have the adults and the kids and everybody, and then that's all part of the carnival thing going on in their downtown area, and so there's plenty of drinks and plenty of food and just a really, fun, exciting evening. And I thought, I was never prepared for that when I was visiting there's two cities in particular, but I thought, oh man, if we had that here, that would just be such a blast for all of us. The serious thing I want to talk about is the homeless situation again. And I know, like many people here in the audience, and probably many of you, when you're running around up and down El Camino, you get familiar with some of our homeless people who are not staying at ECHO, or maybe they are, but I know that I've gotten to know, just by virtue of stopping at the shopping centers and the post office, there's a few people that I actually know now. And one woman, I won't say her name, but I talked to her quite a bit. She's a little tiny thing. And she started out in the valley, California Valley, with her husband. They lived there for many, many years in a trailer home. And then he left, he bailed. And so she was left alone in this trailer home with no means of support at all. And she just, stayed there as long as she could. And then it basically just started falling apart on her. She's at least 65 years old now. So she's living on half, she just qualified this last year for half of his Social Security, which doesn't appear to be very much. And so she really barely has enough money for food. And then once in a while can stay at a hotel. She has a pet, so she can't. And this is like her lifeline. She can't stay at ECHO because you can't take your pets there. So I ran into her at the post office in the same week. I ran into her one night when it was going to be like 23 degrees. And we talked, anyway, we do have a need for a warming center here. I think we all need, like someone else said, all of the agencies coming together.
Thank you.
Okay. And please, no camping fee charges for people who can't buy their food. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at public comment? All right. If not, we'll close public comment and bring it back to council and staff.
I will tell you that this vote 2 weeks ago was probably the hardest issue that I had to decide on in my 6 years in council. And it is a lot more complicated than simply we have homeless people who need a place to stay. And there are varying degrees of people experience homelessness. There are people who are transient by choice. So there are individuals that present a problem. There are those that don't. We can't lump them all together. There are a lot of different issues, and it will require robust solutions. I have talked with Orlando Gallegos from Transition Food and Shelter this week. He indicates that they seem to have an option available, and they're looking for busing. I got him in touch with SlowCog, and they're looking at the possibility of ride-on. They use that up in Paso Robles for their warming center, and so he said it looks like they could do that for a reasonable cost, and so let's see what that looks like. Also connected him with Mayor Steve Martin. They have a real opportunity at the Youth Authority, and that would be more for that option that Orlando and the team are looking at for a long-term solution. And so I've connected the two of them, and we'll see what can come of that. But none of us took this decision lightly. And we will continue to, you know, be available to the community to see what options are available. Is there anyone here that is wanting to re-agendize that? That is really what has been asked.
I would encourage the council to consider a task force to make sure that they, I'm aware that the options that are currently underway and look like they're going to materialize for care of people this particular winter, and also for a longer term solution, that our task force to make sure that those things happen on behalf of this council. And I would volunteer to serve on it.
We talked about that last week, and so we can get to that when we get to our committee selections. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that certainly if the council wants to do that, we can do that. But not seeing any desire to re-agendize that. I do thank you for coming out, and I really do understand and appreciate your concerns. On a lighter note, I do agree with you on Terry Banish being the best, one of the best things that's happened here in Atascadero. And Ms. Skinner, if you would like to run a thriller event like during Halloween, come talk to us because that would be awesome. But always looking for volunteers to do those kind of things. We actually did that at Dancing in the Streets this year. That was kind of fun. All right. So moving on to our public hearings, we have our community development grants.
Can I make a comment real quick?
Sure thing.
Just to Ms. Perkins, you mentioned the 2015 homeless point in time counts. This is a copy of the 2017, which I've read, and I could give it to you if you'd like.
City manager. Thank you.
For anybody who's interested in that sort of information, it is available on the county's website, and it does make for interesting reading.
Oh. Thank you. And so we'll now move on to our hearing on the community development block grants, and I believe Director DeBar will be making that presentation.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. That's going to be new. So used to saying a different name after Mayor. I don't know if Luca's loading up the slides, I'm sure. I kind of joke that this is really known as community development block grants, or really here at Atascadero, they're public works block grants. Phil and I joke about that. Maybe I'll just get going. Every year, the community development block grants are funded by U.S. HUD, Housing and Urban Development. It's administered locally through the county. The city used to do this itself without the county's help, but the county kind of took this over a few years ago. They actually solicit applications from the public. It goes through a pretty vigorous process because it is a federal program. It's broken down into three categories. Broken down into three categories, which are public facilities, public services, and administration cost. The city does participate with the other local agencies, and the county is collectively administers it on our behalf. There's really a criteria for to meet the activities and to be funded for it. Needs to meet one of three criteria: benefit to low to moderate income persons, aid in the prevention or elimination of blight, and addresses urgent needs that pose a serious and immediate threat to the health or welfare of the community. That's verbatim from their guidelines. This year, there's an estimated amount of $128,031 available. There's also, a couple years ago, we made a loan to Morro Bay so they could do one of their projects. It was a great project. It's one along the kind of the dunes there that includes a bridge and some other things. We actually had fund balance from previous projects that we loaned to them. We had one project that was canceled because of the water conservation efforts out at Lake Park. It was phase two for that accessibility project. And so they're repaying us an amount, and I'll get into that in a second. And then there's also some fund balance from previous year administrative costs that we can reallocate to other needs for a total of $192,332. This is a draft amount. It always comes back. So tonight it's going to be draft recommendations. Usually in March we have the final numbers from the county, and these numbers will change, fluctuate. These are usually kind of lower numbers than what we'll see in March, but they're for the most part on par or in the ballpark of what we'll see the final allocation to be. And then in the past, we've typically just adjusted the draft recommendations proportionally to what the final recommendations are. But that can be something the council can discuss in the future at the meeting in March. So as I mentioned, public services is one of these items. They actually cap the amount that you can spend from the total allocation to 15%. So for the 2019 allocation, this is at $19,205. The administration costs are also capped at 20%. So the county usually gets 13% of that because they do the brunt of the administrative reporting and everything else. It actually saves staff quite a bit of time. And then the other 7% goes to the city. So $16,644 is recommended to go to the county, and $8,962 to the city. Talking about the Morro Bay repayment status, so in 2016, the loan agreement that was made was to reallocate $236,420 to Morro Bay. And then they're giving us their full allocation. And this is money that was from the public facilities category, so public facilities, public services administration. So this is for infrastructure. They've made a repayment of $67,566 in 2017, that first year. The county actually changed their policy where they actually kept a portion of that amount to administer the cost for those public facility projects. The city staff, actually went back and talked to them and saying, hey, look, we gave a full $236,420 that we could have used on public facilities. Now you're pilfering off the top of that. They agreed to make that whole. So last year, actually, we had the full Morro Bay repayment of $79,367. And the county actually refunded that amount that was taken from the 2017 amount of $10,096. So currently, the repayment remaining loan balance is $79,391. This year, these are the applications received at top line. Public facilities, $83,220 is available from this year's allocation to the city. Morro Bay is estimated to get $52,929. Again, this needs to be spent on the public facilities, so what's available this year is $136,149. Typically, the city has put up projects that address accessibility, ADA deficiencies throughout town. This year, the city is proposing, or the staff is proposing, to fix the Santa Rosa sidewalk project. So this is between El Camino Real and the northbound on-ramp of 101, adjacent to the Motel 6 property. So there's a sidewalk. If you go up there, it's in pretty bad shape. It's way too narrow. There's displaced joints along there. We've had a number of complaints from the public to remedy this. So this is one of the projects we feel as a staff collectively is warrants addressing with this money. We estimate about $140,000 to do that. And then we also, as I mentioned, the county solicited public services categories. We actually got two applications this year, one from ECHO for $10,000, and then one from the City of Atascadero Rec Department for the youth activity scholarships in the amount of $12,500. Currently, there's $19,205 available. And then the administrative costs we have up there, but those are kind of set. There's really not much you can do with regard to changing those amounts. It's pretty much set. So the applications received this year were a total $188,106. There's also the 3 years of administrative fund balance, I'll call it, in 2016, 2017, 2017 as a public facilities project. The Atascadero Mall project actually ran under budget and has $2,875 remaining. So those total up to $11,372. Total funding available is $192,332. And that does include the Morro Bay reallocation and the amount to administrative and public facility previous project fund balance. The little previous applicant allocations, so both ECHO and the City of Atascadero Rec Department have applied previous years, the previous 3 years. These are the amounts that were allocated to them. Last year, I believe they were the only two. 2017, 2016, there were other applicants in this category that also applied. One thing to keep in mind is also that any allocation needs to be in a minimum amount of $8,000. So the county has basically said, look, it's not worth our time to administrate and all this paperwork for $1,000 grant or whatever. So they want to have fewer grants, obviously, but higher amounts just to make it worth their while, I guess, to administer it. So $8,000 is a minimum that the city council can award. So the recommendation tonight is to develop and adopt a draft funding recommendation for the 2019 CDBG fund cycle. And we do have a spreadsheet that is typically thrown up here on the screen, and it does include some of the draft recommendations from that city staff is recommending for each of these, but really it's up to the council to determine how they want to go about doing that. I think Luke is going to pull that up. One other thing real quick, I know Wendy Lewis, the executive director from ECHO, is in the audience. She might want to speak on behalf of her application tonight. ECHO We got some information from her earlier. Echo actually, in 2017, placed 95 people in permanent housing, and they're on par this year to even place more. So that's great news. The rec department, in the last 3 years, last year they had 160 participants in their youth scholarship. The previous year they had 179, and the year before that were 182. So fluctuates are between 160 and 185. So it really helps out a lot of these youth to be able to participate in the youth sports. So this is the spreadsheet, and maybe at this point I can stop and turn it back over to you, Mayor.
That was a great report. So what we'll do is we'll just bring it to council for any questions before we go to the community for any input. Do we have any questions from the council for our director? We'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Rowe and then Councilmember Funk.
I'm reminded we shouldn't be cruel in our initiation of the two new council members. We need to show them how the mic works and how the request to speak buttons work.
Well, and you can't be mean to the new mayor because she doesn't have the names lined up yet. So
I got it.
I'm doing hands tonight.
So forgive us if we seem a little disjointed there. Anyway, my question is this. Regarding the sidewalk that goes up the hill next to the Motel 6, I'm calling up the map on my phone. I'm trying to visualize. Does the sidewalk across the overpass, is it on both sides, or is it on that particular side? Or
sure. And currently, you cross Santa Rosa at the 101 on and off ramp, I guess, northbound. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a crosswalk there.
Okay.
So it as you come across the bridge over 101, it's on the south side of Santa Rosa. Mm. You hit, and as you're moving east and you hit that northbound at East Front and the northbound on ramp, it actually, you cross that and then it crosses over to the north side and then it goes down the north side of Santa Rosa.
So, because I was wondering what, you know, kind of the purpose of this, is it to provide a better pathway to Santa Rosa School? Because people aren't just walking to the top of the, freeway on ramp. The idea must be they're headed somewhere. And is it the school you have in mind?
It is. There's a school up there. There's also a senior facility that I know there's been seniors that actually walk or ride, you know, rascals or scooters along these that have come in and talked to me personally about the, the need to fix that.
Got it.
And there tends to be a lot of foot traffic there. There's some, miners and some other businesses along there, some restaurants that folks walk to and other gas stations.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And Councilmember Funk.
Right. Question on the Youth Activity Scholarship Fund. My understanding of this, while it's being referred to as youth sports, is that it has a broader application than that, and that students could perhaps apply for dance lessons or music lessons or art lessons or other kinds of development. And I was wondering the extent to which the uses scholarships for other than sports had been granted in the past year, roughly.
I'm not sure about that, if they have or not. I don't know. We typically offer that. They get applications from various participants. Maybe the city manager knows.
I don't have that figure offhand. It does vary from year to year depending on the interest of the children that apply. Mm-hmm. I was just speaking to Ms. Lewis about Echo, and a lot of her clients apply for it. Mm-hmm. If the child has an interest in art and there's more kids involved in art that year, it would be that. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly something I could look up and send to you at a later date.
I was just interested in ballpark, the extent to which that was occurring. That's okay. And my other question is, with regard to the ECHO application, I'm interested in knowing how many persons ECHO has housed so far in 2018 moved into permanent housing. And I expect the answer is in the audience, if that's allowed.
I know Ms. Lewis actually told us 2017 was 95, and I think she's looking at more from that and maybe
We'll open it up to public comment in a moment and have Ms. Lewis come up. So do you have any other questions of staff right now?
That will suffice.
Okay, thank you.
And if I can maybe just talking with the chief, he used to oversee REC a couple years ago and mentioned a lot of the applicants were primarily for sports, but it wasn't that we don't really get any applicants for other things like dance and other these activities, but I think, you know, they would be eligible for those, so. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public for public comment, and possibly Ms. Lewis wants to come. Thank you.
So Wendy Lewis with Echo Homeless Shelter, and first I'd like to thank the city for the continued support. This has been going on for years, far beyond my time there, so thank you so much for that. So as mentioned, in 2017, it was 95 families, so individuals or children with parents, found housing through our program. This year, we're on track to exceed that. Probably about by 10 to 15 people. As of today, 98 have found housing through the end of November, and we have a couple large families that potentially will be in a home before Christmas. We're crossing our fingers, so nice. We're just really grateful for this funding. One thing I'd like to put out there, if there is, come March, if there is a higher amount, I would love to have it out there that it potentially could come back to us. Unfortunately, the county funding we receive this year is going to be decreased by 14% because the countywide pool decreased and it kind of was equitably decreased throughout the county. So we will have a little bit of a deficit that we're trying to find a way to bring back to Echo. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you do for our community and for those in such need.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying thank you for what you do in our community and especially, I mean, helping those who are in such need. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you. We couldn't do it without the community. So thank you.
Any member of the public wishing to speak here, public comment? All right, seeing none, we will close public comment and bring it back to the council. And typically what we'll do, I'll start with some of our seasoned council members. The way we do it is we go through and we just go with, you know, here would be our recommendation, and we can see how that plays out, and if we're close or we average them, and we'll see how we go from there. So why don't we start with Councilmember Fonzie?
Well, it would seem that we have several options. We can split it inequally, or we can split it up the middle. Our grand total that we can do is $19,205. If we were to split that equally between the youth scholarships and ECHO, that would come to $9,602.50, which would be my proposal.
And then for the public facilities?
I have no problem with the public facilities.
So go with the draft recommendation?
Correct.
Okay. And Mayor Pro Tem Borbo.
Yes, thank you. If you could, you don't have to go back to the slide, but you had a slide up earlier that reflected how much our youth activity scholarships and ECHO received in the prior years. And it had actually gone up the last couple of years, or last year, because Loaves and Fishes dropped out of applying because of the onerous paperwork burden. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking back a couple of years to where we were in 17 and 16. And my inclination here would be to give $10,000 to ECHO and the balance to our youth scholarships.
Okay. And for the public facilities?
Well, the public facilities, since we only have the one project tonight.
I am just making sure.
You're going to go with the draft recommendation there. Thank you.
All right. And then Councilmember Newsom.
I'm going to go with the draft recommendations as well for both.
Okay. And Council Member Funk.
Sorry, still working on learning the mic. I will go with the proposal for $10,000 for ECHO and $9,205 for the youth scholarships.
All right, so we have a... Not bad. That's a fairly decent consensus, and I think I can. What if we split the difference and we go 9,800 ECHO and the difference to the youth activity scholarships?
I would be comfortable with that.
Anybody good?
Sure.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So let's do that. And public facilities as, and Councilmember Funk, public facilities as proposed?
Yes, public facilities as proposed.
All right. So does the director need anything further from us besides a vote?
No, just a vote on a consensus amount, and then we'll bring this back in March once we know final numbers. And as I mentioned before, these are usually a little lower traditionally, and what you'll see in March is will be a little bit higher. So hopefully in the public services we can actually, you know, get both of those to 10,000. That'd be great.
That would be great. All right. And with that, I will look for a motion.
I'll move that we adopt the consensus figures that we just agreed upon and are reflected on this slide.
I'll second.
We have a first by Mayor Pro Tem Borbo, a second by Councilmember Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Borbo?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
All right. We have no management reports. Council announcements and reports. And this is a time for the new council members, if there's anything, a brief announcement on some activity, something in the community that you're doing that you wanted to share with the public or with the council that you thought was important, this would be your time to do so. I will go from my left to my right. Any reports?
Not at this time.
None at this time.
None from me.
I do have one. I asked the city manager to send you a link that showed an article that was in the Wall Street Journal today regarding water issues in the North County. It's available online as well as in the newspaper. Very interesting regarding our North County water situation, so I would recommend that you read it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Clark.
I wanted to thank Councilwoman Fonzie for sharing that interesting article, which I enjoyed. And also in appreciation of all the comments tonight about the warming center, I have been in touch in the intervening time since the last meeting with representatives of Transitional Food and Shelter and other persons interested in the care of the homeless in the community, and am aware that they are working, you know, ahead, you know, through some connections that have been made, have tentative arrangements that may be working for a location for a warming center for the remainder of this winter. And I think it's important that some arrangement be made there.
Thank you. And yes, as I did say, I have been in touch with Orlando as well, with TFS, and seeing what we can do about putting the transportation issues that they were needing with the busing. And he did, as you said, mention that they have a potential spot. So that was really, really good news. All right. Now we are on to our committee reports, and this is where we will go through and I'll let you know who the committees are. I've met with the council members individually and gotten some input from them. And so these are the committees that we all serve on, whether they are city committees, such as a finance committee or design review committee, or countywide committees, such as the Integrated Waste Management Authority or San Luis Obispo Council of Governments. And so we represent you in a variety of ways other than just at these meetings. And so I will ask the city clerk, would you just have me read through these top to bottom and the appointee and the alternate?
Yes.
Okay. So if the Air Pollution Control District, the appointee is, I'll just use last names, Fonzie, alternate Borbo. The Atascadero Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency, appointee Fonzie, alternate Moreno. The California Joint Powers Insurance Authority Board will be Newsom. The alternate is staff, Rickard and Rangel. The City Schools Committee will be Borbo and Newsom. The alternate will be Funk. The City Selection Committee will be Moreno, the alternate Fonzie. The City Mayor's Roundtable will be Moreno, the alternate Borbo. The Design Review Committee will be Fonzie as chair and Newsom. The Economic Vitality Corporation is Moreno, alternate Newsom. The Finance Committee will be Bourbeau as chair, Funk, and there is no alternate. The Homeless Services Oversight Council will be Funk, alternate Bourbeau. Integrated Waste Management Authority, appointee Bourbeau, alternate Funk. Our representative to the League of California Cities, the council liaison, will be Funk, alternate Bourbeau. The Local Area Formation Corporation, also known as LAFCO, is Fonzie. There is no alternate for that. The San Luis Obispo Council of Governments will be Moreno, alternate Bourbeau. The San Luis Obispo Regional Transportation Authority, Moreno, alternate Bourbeau. The Water Resources Advisory Committee is Bourbeau, with alternate as our staff, Mr. DeBar. And the Visit SloCal Advisory Committee will be Newsom, alternate Moreno. And so now what I'd like to do is bring up the issue of the task force that we had talked about last time and that Councilmember Funk brought up this evening. And so I think the idea is that we would have two council members, and we had talked last week about it, or 2 weeks ago, about it possibly being our now Mayor Pro Tem Bourbeau, and Councilmember Funk has been has said that she would be interested in that. And so possibly that is a group that the two of you could work together with the community and see what you're able to, in terms of being liaisons and how you could maybe make connections. We're not setting this up as something that the city is not setting up a committee to say, we're going to go do this as a city. We're setting it up as something where you're wanting to be a liaison with the community to see what sort of support you can offer. Am I understanding that properly?
We have, my intention, as you recall, last time when we discussed the issue and I was doing some thinking out loud, and I mentioned this possibility, part of that was that there were many unanswered questions regarding the Armory shelter proposal specifically, that I felt that that certainly I as a council member and perhaps someone else could help answer some of those things without requiring the staff to spend a lot of time on some of that. And that as part of, getting some of those kind of questions answered, there would be some reaching out to some of the groups in the community that have proposed some of these things, and just to touch base with them, as Councilmember Funk has already done, regarding an alternate location for a warming shelter. So I looked at it at the time as a method to hopefully save a little bit of time for the staff and do some kind of digging and answering of questions that would be helpful to the council and helpful to the staff, as well as reaching out to some of the folks in the community who are heavily involved in this issue. Okay. So that's how I kind of pictured it.
Okay. And I think, I guess the way I pictured it was being, as I said, kind of a liaison and working with the community to be making those connections. And so certainly that is something that you could be reporting back to us. And Councilmember Funk, with you being on the Homeless Services Oversight Committee, that will be, you'll be getting more information there, and I think that could be very useful. So do I have a consensus from the council to have that sort of working group?
Yes.
So do I have...
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I can always get nods, but yeah, I gotta get something to know we're good. Okay, so we'll go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. And
Mayor Moreno, really quick, are we creating like an ad hoc committee?
An ad hoc committee.
Okay. So, correct. Do you have a particular name? You Homeless Services Task Force Ad Hoc Committee, or do you have a particular name you want so that I can track it?
I am not particular about it.
Okay, then I will create a name.
You create a name.
All right.
Awesome. Love it. All right, so we won't have committee reports at the moment. In the individual determinations or actions, I was hoping the city clerk could give the council a timeline for how it will look with doing the Planning Commission and the Sales Tax Oversight Committee and what that's looking like in terms of the interview process.
Sure. So it is currently out right now for applications. We have that set for applications to run through January 5th. We've advertised that in the newspaper, I think, which will publish this Friday, and it's on our website, and we've put those notices out, some press releases and stuff. So that will run through January 5th, and then I will work with all of you to get a date that we can set a special meeting, much like we did in 2019. 2016 or 2017, where, you know, an afternoon where we can meet and you guys can do some interviews of those who have applied for the at-large. So we'll get that set up. Probably I'm looking maybe towards the end of January. We'll take into account schedules also because you do have strategic planning scheduled for January 25th, which will start at 5:30, and then the next day, January 26th, which starts at 8:30. So we'll try to figure out somewhere in between there to get that and get those appointments.
Okay. Councilmember Fonzie had a question followed by Mayor Pro Tem Borbo.
Yes, I was wondering if we could perhaps put a few applications at the front desk for those who may not be internet savvy and want to pick one up.
Yes, there are already there.
Yep. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my question is, that includes the at-large position on the design review committee that has been advertised as well?
We don't normally advertise a design review. That's an appointment that you guys typically make amongst yourselves.
I think it's been something that Mayor O'Malley has, I think, typically made that appointment and just had a consensus with the,
Okay.
So we'll do that soon, too.
Okay. And then in the meantime, perhaps Mr. Dunsmore can elaborate. I assume there will be possible Planning Commission meetings in January. And so those of us who are incumbents, our existing appointees will continue to serve until we either replace them or renominate them?
Yes, commissioners serve until they're replaced.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And I realize that Mayor O'Malley, before he stepped down, said, oh, Heather was at all my meetings. I'll let her make the announcements. Well, I didn't bring my notes because I assumed he was doing it. So next time I will report out on the mayor's meeting in SLOCOG. We got our arena numbers, and I'll go through all that. So, well, I'll let you know. Our arena number is 843, if I remember correctly. So 843 over the next 10 years. So out of all the scenarios, that was the third best out of 10 scenarios, I think it was. So we did pretty well there.
I think you might want to explain that Reno Regional Housing Needs Assessment.
Yes, Regional Housing Needs Assessment. Those are the housing that we will be really required by the state to make space for in our city. We're not necessarily required to build, but the state is tending to go more in that direction and penalizing you if you don't. And I think we're well equipped to move in that direction. So I went a little out of order there, but I think the city attorney will cut me some slack. All right. A little bit. Any other actions? All right. Meeting adjourned.